Well, this is the week when a lot of children are going to be going back to school. And you remember what that's like. You show up at school, and especially if you're one of the new kids, you're looking for anyone who will be your friend. And you're trying to figure out where you belong. Do you belong with the jocks, with the cheerleaders, with the nerds, with that group of misfits that also seems to collect, with the music kids? Where do you fit in? And you know at a visceral level the horror of trying to join the wrong group and being rejected. Sort of like that parable of going to the head table and saying, nope, you're in the wrong place. Go sit lower. I still remember, and not very fondly, walking into the cafeteria during my first weeks of college and looking out there, just looking desperately for a friendly face out there somewhere. Where do I sit? I remember at Wartburg seeing other college students doing that same drill, sitting in the cafeteria and seeing people walk in and trying to figure out, where do I sit? Where do I belong? It's something we all do, and I don't think we ever entirely get over. Where do we fit? And on the other side of it, how do we decide to which people we will open our homes and our hearts? How do people qualify to be our friends? And what kind of return do we expect for our hospitality? You know, in a lot of society, it's all about networking, measuring people by how useful they are to us. And when we don't invite people in, when we don't befriend them, what is it that we fear? Are we afraid that whatever we see in them will rub off on us? Sort of like hanging out with the wrong group at school. Both the gospel reading and the reading from Hebrews today challenge our ideas about in-groups and out-groups. Jesus calls us to invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind to eat with us, to invite them into our homes. Hebrews challenges us to remember those who are in prison as though we were in prison with them, to remember those who are being tortured as though we ourselves were being tortured. Not simply to say, these are evil people who belong there, but to think of them as if it were being done to us. Truly to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. And I think that reminds us to reflect on, with whom does Jesus identify? Jesus makes friends with all the wrong people, with outcasts, with prostitutes, with the outsiders that no one wants to be seen with. Jesus identifies with the excluded and the tortured and the people who are pushed outside where no one will have to see them. You know, ironically, the passage that's been left out in the middle of today's Hebrews reading, if you look at the verse references, you'll see there's a gap between the introduction and the rest of the passage. Well, that passage that's been left out talks about Jesus as the one who was tortured to death by crucifixion, and the one who was shamefully executed outside the gates of the city. That's what leads into remember those who are being tortured as though you were being tortured, those who are in prison as though you were in prison, because Jesus identified himself, was one of those people. It would be easy to see the gospel reading and the Hebrews reading about practicing charity, stooping below our social status to welcome outcasts or help the less fortunate. But I think that's fundamentally to misread them. That's not what they're really about. Instead, they are about seeing people who are different from us as God sees them. It's about treating other people not as other or different or less, but as members of our family, as fellow children of God, and extending to them the grace and welcome that God shows to us. I mean, after all, is our relationship with God based on reciprocity? What could we possibly give God that would repay God's generosity toward us? While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't have to get cleaned up first. Because God looks beyond the surface and loves us for ourselves. Recently, Brian and I watched a really wonderful movie, and I commend it to you if you have a chance to see it. It's on Netflix or something, Amazon, I don't know. Anyway, The Unbreakable Boy. It's based on a true story about Austin, a boy with osteogenesis imperfecta, also more familiarly known as brittle bones syndrome. And the family discovers this early when, you know, initially the mom is blaming the dad because Austin keeps breaking bones and she's sure the dad is doing something dreadful. And no, it's just that all Austin has to do is jump about 6 inches and he breaks something. And he is an irrepressible child who is constantly jumping and has a huge sense of adventure. And instead of being, you know, becoming more and more timid because he breaks bones, he just sort of exuberantly breaks his bones, and they put a helmet on him, and then he becomes the king of the hat, of the goofy armored hat. And, if you want a nerd, Austin is the ultimate nerd. And they decide to go ahead and send him to public school, and I have to say that as I was watching this, I went, oh, no. You know, you just cringe for what his reception will be, because he looks like the kid that everyone will instantly mock, and you just think this is going to be misery. But no, he is irrepressible, and on the first day of school, he shows up and he says, hello, everyone, I'm Austin, and I am going to be your friend. And he runs down the hallway, slapping everybody's hand and greeting them, and you're going, whoa, that's quite a way to make an entrance on your first day of school. And he continues that every day. That's the way he greets everyone. And of course, you know, the kids are like, there's one weird dude, right? And it's not like they respond to him instantly. And he seeks out the big bully kid and tells him, you are my best friend. And the bully kid, of course, is like, oh, no, I am not. But Austin persists. He just persists. And one day, the bully kid, who's noticed that Austin is weird in a lot of ways, asks a question that he knows will cause Austin to just start off and not be able to stop. And he asks in the middle of class, And so Austin launches. And once Austin has launched on something, he cannot quit until it is done. And so he continues and continues and continues in the middle of class, completing this memorized information that he has. And the teacher asks him to stop, but Austin can't stop. And so finally, the teacher sends him to the principal's office, and Austin is told that he needs to be in special ed. And he just has meltdowns. He attacks his brother. He ends up in a mental institution for a while. And then he is diagnosed with autism and put on some medication that really helps. And then also, of course, the family learns things like if he's launched on something, he needs to be able to finish it. While Austin is still in special ed, his brother has an encounter with the bully. His brother got a skateboard for Christmas. And the bully, one day at school, takes his skateboard from him. And it is just the icing on the cake for the brother, who knows that the bully has been mistreating Austin. And he pounds that bully. And they both end up in the principal's office. When they come back, when he comes back home, Austin says to him, "You know, that boy has a really hard life. I don't think he got any Christmas presents." And he talks about what he's seen in that bully. He's seen the boy's pain. He's seen the boy's suffering at home and why he acts the way he does. And his brother goes back to school and he gives that bully a skateboard. And he becomes friends with the bully. And then all the kids at school sign a petition asking to bring the unbreakable boy back to school. They say, "We want him here. He is important to us. He's the life of our school." You know, I found myself reflecting that Jesus is inviting us to live like Austin, to treat everyone as our friend, and not to take no for an answer, to see them not as the bully or the misfit or the popular kid, but to see them for themselves, to see them as God sees them. You know, every Sunday, God invites the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and us to share in a meal. All of us. No questions about whether we belong or not, about whether we qualify, about what we can repay. We're just invited to come and eat. And God's realm has a present face, as simple as practicing genuine hospitality, genuinely loving people, not for their status or the benefits they can offer us, but for themselves. God calls us to share the gift we receive here at this table, to live Eucharistically every day, to take the gift of communion, of God's absolute welcoming love, beyond this table and out into the world. God calls us to live like Austin. Amen.